The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I didn't have a chance to meet you the other night. I saw you walk into the event and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know many people here, but I'll go over and introduce myself.
Oh, I wish you had.
And I got stuck in a conversation. I saw you got stuck in a conversation. And then as soon as I finished, I looked over, I was like, she's gone. Darn it.
Dang it. We're talking about post Academy Awards parties. Did you have a great time?
I did. It's definitely not my world. So I definitely just had to be super outgoing. And I like the challenge.
I mean, I don't know who like is of that world, because the whole thing is just ersatz humanity. Like, we're all pretending. I sure wish we'd seen each other to say hello, because it really is. It's like, that is just what that party is running into interesting people and having an excuse to have a conversation. That's how I look at it. I go up to people I would never go up to.
And I'm always in workout clothes and snowboard clothes.
It's nice to get dressed up.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Minnie Driver. Welcome to Mini Questions Season 2. I've always loved Proust's questionnaire. It was originally a 19th century parlor game where players would ask each other 35 questions aimed at revealing the other player's true nature. It's just the scientific method, really. In asking different people the same set of questions, you can make observations about which truths appear to be universal. I love this discipline. And it made me wonder, what if these questions were just the jumping off point? What greater depths would be revealed if I asked these questions as conversation starters with thought leaders and trailblazers across all these different disciplines? So I adapted Proust's questionnaire and I wrote my own 7 questions that I personally think are pertinent to a person's story. They are, when and where were you happiest? What is the quality you like least about yourself? What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you? What question would you most like answered? What person, place, or experience has shaped you the most? What would be your last meal? And can you tell me something in your life that's grown out of a personal disaster? And I've gathered a group of really remarkable people, ones that I am honored and humbled to have had the chance to engage with. You may not hear their answers to all 7 of these questions. We've whittled it down to which questions felt closest to their experience or the most surprising or created the most fertile ground to connect.
My guest today on Mini Questions is the extraordinary Olympian Lindsay Jacob Ellis. Lindsay is the most decorated female snowboard cross athlete of all time. She's dominated the sport for almost two decades as a five-time world champion and 10-time X Games champion. In 2006, she debuted at the Winter Olympics and she won the silver, but it would take 16 years until she would finally and triumphantly win the gold medal for snowboard cross at this year's Winter Olympics. So what relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you?
This took me a bit, but I was thinking Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. I feel like they've been together for so long and they've been working within the industry. They work together. And when I'm looking for someone that I want to spend the rest of my life with, I want to be able to grow with that person, not just as an individual, but with that person. And I feel that they've done that. I'm also huge fans of them.
Yeah, I know. They're pretty awesome. Do you think that is then the kind of cornerstone of your idea of love, is being able to evolve with someone?
Absolutely. I really want to always be improving myself. And you can easily look at me as an athlete. I'm always trying to get better, faster on course. I want that to translate over to me in my being. Learning about me and being the best version of myself and having somebody else find great qualities in myself, as well as just learning where we can go together as a couple.
Do you think it's longevity as well? I mean, I don't know if your parents are still married or if that was like reflected in your life, like the idea of being together when you're young and like making that journey all the way through to hopefully old age. Is that something that you, again, like that is important to you, that the idea that it could span a whole bunch of different realities?
I think that is very important. And I do look at my parents as, you know, starting point in that, because you grow so much in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. And so I would imagine it would be very challenging to be growing with people as they change. But my parents have now been together for, I want to say, 45 years.
Wow.
So I've definitely seen their challenges, their setbacks, but their triumphs, and you know how they still are with each other. And it's really nice to go back home and visit them and connect with the whole family.
I like that that's kind of grandmothered into you. It's like that idea. And then you can see that reflected in Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, because I feel exactly the same way, except my parents weren't together, but I still want to be like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Which means they transcend, you know, any kind of division. I think they represent something really cool too. You're right. In their movies as well, particularly Overboard.
Right. That is my favorite one.
Actually, mine too. I mean, Goldie Hawn in anything, but yeah.
Oh, she was amazing, that one. My mom and I always quote that one. Whenever one of us is like either in the kitchen or we just see that they're kind of like stuck in a rhythm or not paying attention, we'll just throw out a quote. So then we immediately get a smile on each other's face. So it's just a lot.
She was extraordinarily funny, like her comedic timing from everything. There's a movie that she made called The Duchess and the Dirtwater Fox with George Segal that was my father's favorite film and is one of my all-time favorite films. I strongly suggest that you give it a watch.
Okay, can't wait.
I'm constantly recommending it to people. It's really funny. It might just be because my dad loved it that I love it, but it's not. It's because she's really funny. Where and when were you happiest?
I would say it comes in this cycle after a season of constantly being on the road. You're tired. You've been drained from competition and travel.
You've been winning gold medals at the Olympics.
It's the best to just finally come home and be in my hometown, but then go down to the beach, have my dog, and just soak up the sun and reset. And I could do that for like a few weeks. And then it energizes me to get back into my training programs and gets me fired up again.
Yeah, I think it's true. It's like after you've really pushed yourself, home just is 10 times sweeter.
Oh, yeah.
And how long do you get to do that for?
Well, it varies. And the last 2 years have definitely been very different with our travel schedule because our team was staying in tighter little travel bubbles. So we weren't really interacting with our entire team just in case somebody got sick. It would only shut down our little immediate bubble instead of taking down maybe the whole team and letting everyone not be able to compete. And it was just a little stressful to be traveling back and forth so often because it did increase your risk of exposure. So we would stay in Europe for longer cycles of time, even in between events, because then we could really hone ourselves in. So the last couple of years, I went 6 months without actually being back home in my place in California. If I had time, I'd go to my parents' house on the East Coast just because I hadn't seen them in such a long time. And I'd have a good way to isolate in their basement to make sure I wasn't bringing any germs back to them. And then I could integrate myself into the family right before I had to leave again.
Do you think that because of what you do, because you compete at such a high level and there's clearly like more stress than I think a regular human being could consider. Also, it's quite dangerous what you're doing. Do you think that depressurization, that happiness is so much tied into all of that stuff being released and that it's being released from the sort of high octane nature of what you do?
I think you have a lot of that really dialed in, what you said, because there is so much intensity, there is so much time and pressure and work that goes into it. Having that time to really relax and decompress, even if it's for a couple of days, really just helps mentally set everything back. I'm sure you can agree anytime that you're on set and you're doing a string of hours or weeks to get something finalized to get home, you're just like, oh, okay. All right. And you see the list of everything you have to do next week and you're like, okay, I'll look at that tomorrow. I just need to shut down. And it's the same thing. It's your body and your mind are running on such a high level. It's not sustainable for long periods of time. So you have to give yourself that. And that could translate over really to anything and anyone that's really focusing on something at a high intensity. It has to be released after some time.
It makes me think about there being two different types of happiness, like that the happiness that is to do with release and relaxation and recalibration, and happiness that is to do with excitement, adrenaline, challenge. I mean, they obviously like augment the other, but I feel like I have two different types of happiness that exist in my life.
And it was funny when you sent the questions, they seem like pretty simple questions, but you're like, when and where are you the happiest? I'm like, well, currently right now, I'm finally home and I'm feeling so happy that I'm home. I'm spring cleaning, ripping everything out of my closet I don't need. And then when I'm on the mountain, it could be a bluebird day, or I'm getting powder runs, or I'm training, or I'm winning an event. There's so many different categories, but currently right now that I'm finally home is a very, very happy zen zone that I'm in.
Is it absolutely incredible being on that podium, getting a gold medal? Is it as extraordinary as I imagine it is? Do you feel like a queen?
You know, it's so weird because I always imagined what I'd feel like. And I imagined, oh, this is how I will act and this is how I'll stand. And then I got up there and I froze. I was like, I'm blanking all the words. I know my national anthem, and I just literally just was in a state of shock. I've been on the podium multiple times. I've heard the national anthem multiple times, and I felt like I just zoned out. And I was just, I'll stare at the flag, I'll smile, but then you think I was a statue for most of the time. And then I'd have goosebumps. And then, you know, it was like that, like Will Ferrell. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I felt so awkward. And then I see everyone down at the bottom waving, and then I'm like, snap out of it. I'm like, oh, hi. Yeah, I can wave to you. I can interact with you. It was such an interesting mix of emotions. Part of you can't believe that it's happening. Part of you has this excitement that you've been working for this many years. I just like some moments I started to like tear up, and then it shut down. It's like you get your composure back. So it's like my body didn't know how to process the emotions, and it was trying to do it all at once, and then nothing happened.
It is kind of an extraordinary thing, like the realization of a dream, like to be awake and present for that. something that you've worked for your entire life. Like, it's a stunning, rarefied experience, which is why I'm fascinated to ask. And I'm glad that there is really actually only a human reaction, which is, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah, you think you're like, oh my gosh, is my collar not folded right? Am I going to get in trouble? Where's the flag? Where am I looking? Like, there's so many things because it's orchestrated and you're walked out and they have so much coordination and everything. You're like, am I going to walk the wrong way? I just follow this girl. I keep a good distance. Like, it's, because it is TV, it's very orchestrated and they want it to look a certain way. So it's uniform every time when every medal is being done, because usually every day there's several medal ceremonies happening. And, you know, they start at like, I don't know, 7 to 9 or something. And you're queued up and you're waiting in the green room and they put you on a bench and they're like, okay, you're next in line. So you'll sit on this bench and then you're going to be going.
It's so TV. It's like, don't let everything that you've been working for your entire life get in the way of our schedule.
Oh, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Absolutely. They're like, get here at 6. You don't go on till 8:30. You're like, wait, what?
Oh my God. It's so funny. This amazing moment in your life. And it's like, nope, it's got to be on schedule. And no, it's nothing to do with the country that you're in. It's actually just to do with the way that television works, which is it thinks that it is the emperor of everything.
Yes, absolutely. Even the ceremonies afterwards and the interviews, you know, we went to a little green room and we were doing all of our post-heat and race interviews on Zoom. So we just went from one to the next, and they're like, you have to be here for a couple hours, but oh no, this interview only starts like in another 15 minutes. So you have some time. And you're like, oh, okay. So it's a whole new world when you add the Olympic name, because that brings on a whole new level of media,
right?
Which we never, ever see, only in every 4-year cycle.
Wow. Well, you got 4 years to recover.
Taking 1 year at a time.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So, what question would you most like answered?
Will we ever not have to rely on fossil fuels for energy? Being a snowboarder, and for the last 20 plus years, I have seen our seasons become shorter. And certain years, we still have really, really great snow. But then we just have several seasons back to back that we're not seeing the snow line. Saas-Fee is a place we always go in Switzerland for early season training in October. And I remember a lot of the times the glacier being able to come so much further down that same time of year. And every year it has gone up and up and up. And if you're looking at it from a year to year basis, you might not notice it. But since I started going there when I was 17, it is a drastic difference. So trying to see what I can do personally to reduce my carbon footprint being in the world we're in right now. But I remember when I was in high school and on the National Geographic cover, they had the car that was hydrogen fueled. And that was very, very long time ago. And we still haven't really seen that come out yet, where it's hydrogen and the byproduct is water. And I know that the science is there. And I just want to see that science become more readily available to the masses.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, clearly the electric car was available a lot sooner.
Yes. But still, the price point is still very high on some of those vehicles.
The price point, but also like the lobbyists, like in the United States. Like, how do you ever get around special interest groups? It's like they don't live in the same world we live in, as if their children and grandchildren and children are somehow going to be immune to the money that they think they have to make now, the power that they have to maintain, particularly like in oil and gas, as if their children are not going to suffer as a result. It's really strange, this disconnect. The thing is, we know it's not irreversible. It's just enough people deciding and enough people going, well, I mean, it's tricky turning infrastructure around, but what's trickier, like creating a new infrastructure and changing the way that you live your life, or there not being life at all?
It's a hard balance, and it's definitely been an uphill battle for sure. And you just try to think within your day-to-day life, you know, how can you reduce your energy consumption and your waste? And you try to do the best you can.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You got to hope that the corporations that are really the ones that are pumping the fossil fuels, we can do what we can do. We can eat less meat. We can take care of our footprint, maybe travel less. It's really hard though. God, it must be extraordinary, literally, to have seen a glacier recede, like that you have watched that over the last 20 years to see that happen. It must be shocking.
And you see so many pictures earlier on, even way earlier on, of that town and where the glacier comes down to. So that's just one location that I've noticed it. So I would love my children to be able to ski and snowboard and to be able to have fun on the slopes and not only have it for a couple months of the year, but have those true winters. I hope that's still possible.
Me too. In your life, can you tell me about something that has grown out of a personal disaster?
Well, my obvious one is from 2006 when I fell and I came up short and had to wait 16 years to finally get my gold. But then I'd also say, I believe it was in 1998, my family shared a house in Stratton with two other families. And it was our little weekend getaway that my dad's two buddies from high school and now their kids. And we would all go up there and kind of just cram into this house.
Stratton is where? It's on a mountain?
Yeah, Stratton Mountain, Vermont.
In Vermont. Gotcha.
Yes, it was right at the bottom of the access road. And it was just this great time that all of us could come together and be with everyone's friends and then all of their kids. But that house burnt down. It was a chimney fire. Nobody was at the house at the time, which was really, really good. But it was a house that was built in the 60s. And the structure of the house was actually built into the chimney, which is obviously not to code nowadays, but it was actually what created the problem because it technically wasn't a chimney fire. But since there was exposed beams that kind of came up into the chimney area, that it was still hot enough from having a fire there the night before, kind of just caught And we lost all of our, you know, very first memories of skiing and snowboarding that we couldn't replace.
Wow.
Stratton Mountain did have a great backlog of all the photos that we've ever purchased from them. And they gave them all to us because it's such a small community. They all felt horrible that that happened. So Stratton gave us all the photos we've ever taken that they had on file. The local shops helped re-outfit my brother and myself. And at that time, we were waiting for the insurance money to come in. So my dad's like, yeah, look, we can't afford to buy our skis and our snowboards. You have to pick one. And I chose snowboarding. And in that moment, that next weekend, we're picking up all of our equipment that Mountain Riders gave us. And I won this little Friday night border cross race that was at the base of Stratton that they build every Friday. And it got me noticed by a coach, Andy Coughlin, at Stratton Mountain School. And he was like, wow, you're really good. You should come race with us. This weekend, we're doing like a GS race at the neighboring mountain, Bromley. And I had won that race as well for my age group. And he's like, you're pretty good at this. You should consider going to Stratton Mountain School, which is an academy for skiers, snowboarders, and Nordic skiers to help them balance their academics and athletics while letting them pursue and see how far they could take their athletics. So it was a weird string of events that lined me up to being found by a coach to go to Stratton Mountain School. And 2003, when I graduated high school, that's when border cross was put into the Olympics. So it's just crazy, because it's always timing, and it's just with everything in life, how things come together, and it's just not a blueprint that you could just follow and that's where you're going to end up. That's what you're going to have as a result. This was just such a crazy circumstance that was so hard on all three families that were involved. It was just very sad to lose so much, and something great came out of it. You couldn't see it right then and there. But if you trace it back to that moment, what if I'd pick skiing? It's just kind of crazy to look at it that way.
Wow. That is an amazing story. I think that is absolutely brilliant. And that is really the philosophy that I would stand by most, which is purely observational, which is that shit not working out is stuff working out. It's just not on our timeline often, and it's not how we thought it was going to look.
Right.
But what an amazing story, and how great something so profound grew. And you still had to fight for it. It's not like it was given.
Yeah.
But the nascent point, it's amazing.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What would be your last meal?
Oh, I'd have to say I love Mexican food. And I went a very, very, very long time living in Europe and not being able to have the, you know, traditional Mexican food or a California derivative of Mexican style food. Just there's this great place not too far from me, Sancho's Tacos. And I've almost eaten there every meal since I've been home because I'm just backlogging all the times I've missed it. It's so, so delicious.
Well, if you're ever in London, I can tell you I've found the place. It's called Taqueria. And becoming obsessed and obviously eating a lot of Mexican food because I'm a California native now, living here for 26 years. That place, proper stone ground, handmade tortillas, like amazing, amazing food. When you're in London, there's not a lot of snow in London though, but you never know, you might be on your way through from somewhere.
Yes, that or I need to just make some side trips that don't involve snow, that I'm not dragging 200 pounds of snowboards, equipment, and just stuff. Just a quick little tiny little wheelie bag. Look how fast I can buzz through the airport with just my little carry-on. So I'm just here for tacos, then I'm out.
I'm just here for the tacos. Is it really specific? Like your diet when you're training and racing, is it really stringent so that you don't get to eat things that you necessarily love? Or do you get to eat pretty much whatever you want because you're burning so much?
My sport isn't necessarily as strict as others. Maybe a Nordic skier or Nordic jumper, they have to be super picky and be weighing their stuff because they want to be as light as possible. My sport actually does help to have extra weight. And going into Beijing, you know, in the last month or so, I definitely was trying to just consume as many calories as possible.
Oh my God, how fun.
Except for now when I'm trying to lean out, but it was so cold in Beijing. So you want to make sure you have enough energy that and storage that you can be burning to help keep you warm, but also that you're not depleting your muscles of the needed nutrients. So then your body starts feeding off of your muscles and breaking your muscles down to keep all systems running.
What kind of thing would you eat? You'd wake up in the morning freezing cold. Would you eat sort of lunch for breakfast? What did that look like?
Well, in Beijing specifically, I would go to the USA house that was right there and I'd have some noodles just to get some great carb base. And then I'd go over to the dining hall with my little Cholulu packets.
You brought with you. I love it.
And I'd get a bunch of fried eggs or scrambled eggs just so that I'm getting back protein and coffee and some either a bagel or a croissant.
I'm very much liking that your breakfast involves going to two separate restaurants. That sounds like my kind of breakfast. Breakfast one, check. Little travel. Breakfast two, check.
And then we'd have snacks up on the hill just because it just helps keep your sugars elevated enough and you don't get into this lethargic state. And it also just helps keep, you know, your just awareness up if you're having that just like little hit of sugar, whether it's just like a Snickers bar or a gel pack. It's just something to help you hyper focus because you don't want to be shutting down when you're trying to execute and go down a course. You only need to be focusing for a couple minutes, but you want all of those minutes really, really focused. And then afterwards, you know, after you work out, it's probably the most important to within 30 minutes to an hour, getting some protein in your system, whether it is a protein shake or sitting down and having a meal. But then also then sleep is probably the most important.
Sleep's the other food. Yeah.
It helps everything reboot, recharge. But I'm definitely not as strict as certain other sports. Other sports, take for instance, bobsled, especially the women's bobsled, they have to weigh the sled, then they have to weigh the two individuals. And all of those together can't go over a certain weight. So together, those girls are trying to balance that, which I'd go insane.
Yeah, me too.
To constantly be like up 3 pounds, down 10 pounds. Like that seems like a nightmare to me. So I'm very happy that my sport hasn't had that involved.
Yeah, yours has two restaurants for breakfast. I mean, I love you, bobsled. Love you. But yeah, I'm team snowboarding. In your life, what person, place, or experience has most altered it?
I would say my brother is a big influence in how I became an athlete. My brother, Ben, is 5 years older than me. We grew up in Connecticut in a little town, Roxbury. We're basically in the middle of nowhere. So if we're wanting to be playing outside, our mom and dad couldn't exactly always drive us to a friend's house or vice versa. So we had to learn how to interact and tolerate each other as brother and sister, and especially having a 5 year younger sister. I'm sure my brother had to put up with a lot of, he had to have the patience, but you know, he was always pushing me to be fearless and to be aggressive and fast. I remember he was the one that taught me to ride my bike without the training wheels. When my dad was at work and I, you know, my mom's inside cooking, preparing food, and you know, he just set me off on the driveway. And he's like, if you start going too fast, you can veer off onto the grass and tip over and you'll be fine. But I do remember that moment of him taking off. I'm not even sure my parents knew that we were taking off the training wheels or if we were even allowed to do that, but he pushed me to do that. And he was assistant coach for, you know, my T-ball and little league games. So he's always hitting ground balls and fly balls to help practice. And then that also translated into my snowboarding career. He was the first person in our family to try snowboarding. And naturally, when I saw how much fun my brother was having, I was like, well, I have to do this. My brother is doing this. I have to do this. And, you know, he taught me how to turn and link my turns. And I was constantly always trying to chase him and catch him going down the hill because he was always the fastest on skis, on snowboards. So he definitely instilled that you can always go faster. You ride with the guys, they're going to make you the best and you push your own levels.
Oh my God, he was the catalyst for all of that. That's amazing. God, that's amazing. That's so extraordinary when you think particularly a 5 year difference. So when you're seven, he was 12, right when it would be super annoying to have a little seven-year-old running around after you right when you're just starting to need to be cool, and then 13 mm-hmm. and an eight-year-old. It's really amazing. That's like, it really feels like there's, it's what makes me believe in like some sort of karmic agreement that exists that kind of predates our lives, because you really can trace the catalyst of everything that you've gone on to do. Like to say, he was the trailblazer.
Yes, I can think of so many moments. We have the snow in the backyard and he's designing the sledding track. And we're not just going to go casual sledding. No, we're shaping and icing with, you know, water and letting it set overnight so then it's that much faster.
Oh my God.
He always brought it to the extreme, but that just seemed normal to me. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like I'll help haul buckets of water. We'll sprinkle it on. We'll let it set. We'll hit this tomorrow. And our mom's just like, please wear helmets.
Oh my God. Was he there in Beijing when you got the gold medal?
No.
Oh, bummer.
Well, family really wasn't able to travel.
You weren't allowed. Of course, because of COVID, of course.
But my cousin, who's younger, who has a very similar dynamic with her older brother. So we share those like younger sibling vibes and energy, and we're very similar. She actually works for NBC Connecticut. And so she was there on a media pass. So she actually was at my event. I didn't know she was actually going to be there because she was down in Beijing and we were up in the village, but she applied to go up there to report, but they didn't tell her until the morning of. So I didn't know. And then when I came down and I finished and I looked and she was there, I was like, oh my gosh. So someone in my family did get to experience that firsthand with me.
Oh, how lovely that you did have family there. But my God, your brother must have just been beside himself.
And they had the opportunity for NBC to be putting cameras in our family's home to be watching them or have like a watch party. And my parents, I know, get so stressed watching me. They handle it very differently. My mom will be sitting on the phone with her sister, giving her the play-by-play of my race, but she can't watch the race. And then my dad will be in a different room actually watching the race, who's on the phone with my brother, who's in Boston, who's watching the race, but they have a slight delay in time. They're like, what's happening? They're like, I can't tell you.
Oh my gosh.
It was really, really cool. And then I have now a young niece and a nephew, my brother's kids. It's just so fun to be able to bring that world and that reality to them. And she's watching the replay of me race that next day. And there's the moment I turn and look to the camera and just like wave to everyone. And she looks at my brother. She's like, wait, can she see us? It was the cutest thing ever. Oh my gosh.
You're amazing. I mean,
thank you.
You're the most decorated female snowboarder cross. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's amazing.
It's funny because I'm sitting here, you're charming me, but I'm wiggling just looking at you. Then I'm like, I'm not me. So excited.
It's such a privilege. It's so amazing. I'm so thrilled about your life. I don't even know you. It's so cool. It's so great. I hope you enjoy every second of it. It's so bloody deserved. You've worked so hard.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I do hope we get to go for a surf.
I love it.
For more from Lindsay, you can read her new children's book, Sochi, A True Story. The book tells the adorable true story of a stray puppy finding Lindsay at the 2014 Olympic Games. The two became inseparable, and Lindsay adopted Sochi and brought him back to the United States. The book is self-published and can be purchased on Amazon. Mini Questions is hosted and written by me, Mini Driver. Supervising producer, Aaron Kaufman. Producer, Morgan Lavoie. Research assistant, Marissa Brown. Original music, Sorry Baby, by Mini Driver. Additional music by Aaron Kaufman. Executive produced by me, Mini Driver. Special thanks to Jim Nicolay, Will Pearson, Addison O'Day, Lisa Castella and Anique Oppenheim at WKPR, De La Pescador, Kate Driver and Jason Weinberg, and for constantly solicited tech support, Henry Driver.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.